I want to start tonight by talking a little bit about merit, something that we talk about a little bit. We probably talk a little bit more about it than some people talk about it. It's really a very important part of practice, misunderstood part of the Buddha's practice. When we talk about merit, we're talking about our meritorious actions. And that when we take these meritorious actions, you know, they're going to lead to good results. And, you know, one of the basic premises of the Buddhist teachings is the making of merit will lead to the cultivation of the practice. You know, there's a direct cause and effect relationship as far as the Buddha is concerned in terms of making merit, acting in a meritorious way, skillful way, and your capacity to develop the path, develop concentration, discernment, and find release from suffering. So there's a cause and effect process. It's said that if we develop merit, we will be reborn in a good destination. So we can think about that if you choose to, if it's helpful for you, in terms of being reborn in another life, in a good destination, in a good place, taking a good rebirth. Or you can think about it, and you certainly should think about it, in terms of the process of birth and rebirth that we go through in this life, in this very life, that, you know, we're going through this process of birth and rebirth constantly, cause and effect, actions having consequences. Actions having consequences in the moment and into the future. So we're constantly taking birth, taking rebirth in the here and now. So the three, as I said in the instructions, the three primary forms of making merit of merit are practicing generosity, developing ethical conduct, following the precepts, acting skillfully with kindness. And the third is practicing meditation, making the effort to practice meditation. So, you know, in order to make merit by practicing meditation, you know, or make merit through meditation, and this is really a very, very, very important aspect of making merit, what it really requires is that you actually practice, you know, that you actually meditate, you know, that we make the effort, that we make the effort. You know, it's not so much about the results, it's about making the effort and making a wholehearted effort, of course, you know, because the degree to which we cultivate merit or the degree to which we develop causes that are going to lead to a useful, skillful, and blessed rebirth are by taking these actions wholeheartedly. You know, so, you know, if we give, you know, begrudgingly, or we practice the precepts, you know, sort of in a rote, automatic way, or we practice the Dharma, if we meditate, you know, with an unskillful intention, with aversion, with dullness, you know, with some kind of unskillful desire, you would probably make a little bit of merit, but not nearly as much as you could make if you practice wholeheartedly. And, you know, and again, we're using this word merit, but we're talking about the kind of life that you're going to shape for yourself. The kind of cause and effect relationship you're setting up for yourself in this life in terms of whether or not your actions are going to lead you towards happiness or suffering. So we have to practice. We have to actually practice. We have to make the effort. We have to make the effort to train the mind. To train the mind. We have to make the effort to free the mind from unskillful thinking, to free the mind from desire and aversion and delusion. And that's what, you know, the heart of training the mind is about, right? freeing the mind from desire, aversion, and delusion, freeing the mind from craving for sense pleasure, freeing the mind from craving for the stories and the narratives that are informed by desire and aversion. So we have to actually practice. We have to practice meditation. Meditation's a practice. It's something we do. We have to make a wholehearted effort. You know, so when we're practicing the Dharma, when we're meditating, we can think about, what we're doing there is, it's something that, why does that lead to merit? Why is that so powerful in the scheme of things? Why is that such an important thing? Just practicing. We're not even talking necessarily about what happens in the practice, but just making that effort to practice. What we're doing is we're making this effort to be better, to be better people. It's about the most noble and most valuable thing that you can do in this life. So we're making this effort to be better. We're making this effort to be a more evolved person. We're making this effort to be more wise, to have more wisdom, to have more compassion. We're making this effort to meditate in the service of cultivating our goodness. That we have this extraordinary capacity for goodness, but if we don't cultivate it, we cultivate it largely through the practice of meditation. If we don't cultivate it, it's going to lie dormant. This goodness that each and every one of us has is going to lie dormant unless we develop it. So you could say, that might be the Buddhist version of sin, or maybe it's my take on the Buddhist version of sin, not developing this extraordinary potential that you have for goodness. On the other hand, it's the most meaningful thing that you can do is do something with this human life that you've been blessed with. And that's what we're doing when we're sitting down to meditate. We're saying, I want a better life. I want to be a more evolved person. I want to have more wisdom. I want to be more compassionate. I want my goodness to shine. I want to be somebody who might contribute to a better world. I want to have a positive effect on the people around me, my family, my friends. I want to have a positive effect on the world. I want to contribute to the world. Not just make some money or get a bunch of stuff. I want to leave my mark in a positive way on the world. And that's what we're doing when we're sitting down to meditate. This is why it's such a meritorious thing to do. So, we encourage you. We encourage you. This is one of those encouragement talks, pep talks, right? It's like to put your time and effort into practice. Put your time and effort into meditation. It's a worthwhile pursuit. It's a worthwhile pursuit. It's a good use of our time in this life. We have a little bit of time in this life. What are we going to do with it? How can we make the most of it? Well, this is one of the most important things we can do in the service of making the most of it, is to train our minds and develop a mind that has more love and compassion and be a better person and have something to do in terms of contributing something to the world. When the Buddha was dying, actually on the day that he died, I believe it was... he sat down under a tree, and he noticed, and the Ananda, who was with him, and his other disciples and pupils noticed that the tree was blooming, and the tree didn't bloom at that time of the year, and it was filled with blossoms and leaves. And then these blossoms just started coming down out of the sky. These beautiful blossoms started coming down out of the sky, and then out of the sky started coming down fragrant scented powder, beautiful scented powder, and the air began to fill with song. The they begin to be beautiful, heavenly songs in the air. And of course, the devas were paying homage to the Buddha. And the Buddha recognized that. He said, you know, the devas are paying homage. They're, you know, making this tree bloom and the blossoms fall and the air fill with powder and the song, you know, and they're paying homage to me. He said, but if you really want to pay homage to me, what you can do is meditate, practice the Dharma. That's how you can pay homage to me. So if we want to pay homage to the Buddha, we get down on the cushion and we meditate. As most of you know, many of you know, I just finished a couple of days ago, finished a 10-day silent retreat, self-retreat. And, you know, like any retreat, it's hard. There's times when it's hard. And it's certainly a journey. Everyone is different, you know. But it's always, for me, a process that I go through in which I learn so much. You know, I learn so much. You know, of course, a retreat is a very concentrated, comprehensive time of meditation. You know, it's basically, you know, from 6 in the morning till 10 at night of meditating with a few little lunch and breakfast breaks, sitting and walking, sitting and walking, sitting and walking. And, you know, it, as the days went on, I just really began to become very much absorbed with this sense of, you know, this is what it's all about. You know, this is what it's all about, to take this time to meditate, to take this time to do something in the service of training my mind in terms of, in the service of, you know, cultivating a more loving and compassionate mind. I mean, this is what it's all about. It was just so powerful to me, you know, and I was so grateful that I had this opportunity to do this, and, you know, and I had so much gratefulness, and I thought about this so much every day, many times, how grateful I was to the members of this group who support me, and, you know, right there on our monthly budget is retreat. You know, the group very explicitly supports me and gives me this opportunity to do this, which is such a precious opportunity to do something that is so meaningful and so worthwhile. You know? And, you know, as the days went on, I had this feeling that I really began to absorb into of what a beautiful practice this is. You know, what a beautiful practice this is. Through all the difficulty, you know, the sore knees and the knot I had in my back and, you know, the dullness and the restlessness and all of, you know, the boredom sometimes and, you know, the full catastrophe. It's like, what a beautiful practice it is. What a beautiful practice. I mean, what is such a beautiful thing to be able to do what we have the opportunity to do. And it brought me such joy to be able to practice. To be able to have this opportunity, you know, to become a better person, to do what I needed to do to be a better person. It's not like, you know, the ego thing of I'm a meditator or anything. It's like, you know, it's in meditation, I mean, it was probably a little bit when I first started, you know, it's like, it's not a sport, you know. It's like, I can get through this retreat, and, you know, and it's a sport, you know, or I'm going to get really high levels of concentration, and I'm going to bliss out, and, you know, it's not about that. You know? It's about being more pure, you know, developing purity of heart, goodness. It's about developing the heart, you know. So what a joy it is to develop the heart. What a joy it is to cultivate our goodness. I mean, this is what it's all about. So it's a practice that's a practice, you know. Meditation is something that's done. It's something that's done. You know, the Buddha said very clearly, you know, you could study the Dharma. You know, it all starts with studying the Dharma. You have to come to classes like this. You have to study the Dharma. But that's all in the service of learning how to practice. You know? The Buddha said that you know, you could study the Dharma and be a scholar of the Dharma. If you don't practice, if you don't meditate, you're not going to get very far. And he said you could study very little. You know, you don't need to know very much about the Dharma, but if you practice, you'll reach the goal. You'll cross over the river of suffering. It's all about practicing. This is what we have to do. We have to practice. You know? I mean, if we don't practice, you know, coming to classes like this, reading books, they're all great experiences. You know, it's wonderful. You know, but we're not going to become better people. You know, I mean, let's just say it, you know? It's through practice. It's through practice. We're not going to develop our potential, is what I mean. But we want to be able to develop our potential, our goodness. So, you know, it requires effort, you know? I mean, this is the tricky thing, right? It requires effort to practice. It requires effort. You know, we tend to be a more passive culture. We don't like to make a lot of effort. You know, we like to sit back and receive information. You know? So the wisdom that we gain through meditation, the training that we do through meditation, we'd much rather do, you know, in a more passive way, you know, receiving, the way we receive images on the TV or the iPhone, the iPad. But following the Buddha's path requires great effort. It requires that we practice. I mean, this is one of the Buddha's primary messages. It's one of the Buddha's primary messages. You know, it was interesting because I was, you know, I mean, when I do self-retreat, I do, you know, I do a little bit of reading every day. I read a little bit of the suttas and maybe a little bit of Tanjaf or Ajahn Lee, and you know, just in reading some of the suttas, some of the, you know, the passages, you know, it just, and I mean, how many times have I read it? But it just struck me how many times, again and again, the Buddha said, "But you have to practice." How many times he ended his Dharma talks? Practice jhana, monks. Don't be heedless. Don't later fall into regret. This is our message to you. And he often gave these talks about wisdom. You know, he often gave these talks about wisdom. He would always, oftentimes, end those talks by saying, "Practice jhana, monks." You know, because if we don't practice jhana, we're not going to develop wisdom. It's like, you know, we need to know these things in terms of what wisdom is, so we know where to look for it. But we're never going to see it unless we develop concentration. It's really one of the Buddha's most primary messages. You know, that this wisdom that we develop in this practice, we talked about this yesterday, you know, comes through practice. You know, it's not an intellectual wisdom. It's something that we learn to know in the body and in the heart by actually practicing. And that was, you know, what I experienced, I think, over the last week or so, you know, was, you know, really feeling some of those truths in the heart. You know? I always love the Tibetan story. I've told it a few times, many of you have heard it, about Milarepa, the great Tibetan sage, one of the great Tibetan sages. And Milarepa had one particular student who was kind of like his protege, and really worked with this student for many, many, many years, and taught him really everything that he had to know, he could know. And you know, at the end, he said, at the end of their relationship, it ended because he said, "You know, I would love to continue to be your teacher. For the rest of our lives, but I see that you have to go off on your own, you know. So let's meet. You know, we'll meet in the forest. You can just picture them in the Himalayas, in the forest, right? Let's meet, and I'll give you my final instructions. You know, so they met and they sat for days, and Milarepa went over what he had to do, and he had to do this and he had to do that, and really detailed all the instructions. And then they walked a little bit through the forest, and they came to this little bridge that went over a river, and he said, okay, this is it, you got to walk over the bridge. Student with tears in his eyes started walking over the bridge, got about halfway over the bridge, and Milarepa said, wait, I have one more instruction. And the student turned around and looked towards Milarepa, and Milarepa, of course, was wearing his robes, and Milarepa bent down and lifted up his robes and showed him his calloused butt and said, you've got to meditate so your butt is like leather if you're going to really get to where you need to get. That's my last instruction to you. You know, so it's about effort, it's about commitment. Because commitment drives the effort. You know, that's the classic Buddhist teaching on the five strengths. You know, conviction, you know, in the path and in your capacity and your potential leads to effort, leads to mindfulness, concentration, and discernment. And when we commit, you know, when we begin to commit, and when we begin to put in the effort and just start to show up, you know, we just make that commitment, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to start to practice. And I just saw this, once I started to practice over 20 years ago, you know, something happened. You know, something happened, and the commitment's grown over the years, but it's something happened at that point, you know, that things began to fall into place once I made that commitment to make the effort to practice. So if we can do this, if we can begin to make this effort, make this commitment, make this effort to show up, to practice, you know, we'll be well on our way.